future.
Yes. So maybe we can actually just check our members in terms of portfolio committee members so that we can be able to determine how we proceed.
We'll start the roll call. Chair, we do correct, Chair, so we can proceed. We'll start the roll call, Chair. Ms. Moatse. Okay.
Honorable Moatse, good morning.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning for everyone. I'm present.
Thank you.
Mr. Mbuyane, Chair.
Honorable Mbuyane.
Good morning, Chairperson, and welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning.
Mrs. Hermans, Chairperson.
Honorable Hermans.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members.
Morning, Present. Welcome. Thank
Mr.
you.
Thring, Mr. Thring, Chairperson.
Honorable Thring.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the colleagues. Chair, I just also indicated that I have another committee meeting later, so I'll have to excuse myself late in the program. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, I know you're actually quite quick and you connect lots of spaces. I just say drive safely through the virtual process.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Morning.
Chair, Ms. Mutahung, Chair.
Ms. Mutahung, Honorable Mutahung.
He's on the platform, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, Mr. Cuthbert, Chair.
Honorable Cuthbert.
Okay, he's on the platform, Chair. He's just having a call. So I thought maybe he's completed that call, but he's on the platform as well, Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Mulder, Chair.
Honorable good Mulder.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, all.
Morning, morning, morning. Welcome. Thank you.
Okay, those are all the members on the platform, Chair. I'm assuming that other members may struggle to get onto the platform, Chair. If the situation changes, Chair, we will inform the committee, Chair.
Thank you very much. Obviously, I think we will be looking at the agenda because we do actually have a representative group of members or team of members to be able to actually then agree on how we proceed. Can I have your agenda then so that we can be able to pick up on what are issues for today? I think we do actually have the issue of apologies. I'm not sure if ever there are any extra ones, but I think you did say Honorable Cuthbert and Honorable Thring have indicated that they've got some issues they are trying to sort out. Can I just check if ever there are any formal other apologies, Secretariat?
Not at the moment, Chair. I have not received any formal other apologies, so I'm assuming that people are struggling to connect there. We will
okay.
keep the committee posted if there's a formal apology coming through, Chair.
Okay. In the agenda we have to adopt, it's mainly the briefing on the challenges facing the ferrochrome and cement industries. So that will be one presentation, then we'll actually be able to have questions and comments and answers. So can I actually just request, I'm sure that's the only item on the agenda, Secretariat?
That's correct, Chair. We just have to afterwards also at the end of proceedings table the replies from the NRCS and the DDIC for the record, Chair.
Okay, so we'll do it maybe as just the point of the administrative part when we conclude the meeting.
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm sure for members, that's the agenda for today's meeting. Can I hear from the portfolio committee members if they are comfortable for us to proceed with that agenda this morning?
Yeah, and it's a new one.
Okay.
That is somebody yes. that was not muted, Chair.
Mbuyane? Honorable
yes,
Mbuyane?
Yes, Chairperson, thank you. I just wanted to check before I adopt because there's an issue that you say after the discussion we'll have an issue there. So I don't know. I don't see it in an agenda.
Okay.
So I just wanted to check you saying NRCS whatsoever. But that as it may, Chairperson, let me propose that we adopt the agenda.
Okay. Thank you very much for moving. The point which was raised, Honorable Mbuyane, was actually the the issue of questions which were actually raised, which we're actually going to circulate, because it was in the portfolio committee, and with the responses will be received by everyone. So it's just a point of an announcement of that process being done. I think I agree with you. There's a mover to adopt the agenda. Can I get the seconder?
Mutahum, Chair.
Honorable Mutahum.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. I second the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. May I check if ever there's any objection? In the absence, may I actually then ask Secretary that we maybe welcome the team DTIC. I'm sure there will be actually representative of appropriate structures. If I can just get confirmation, is the DG here?
Chair, the DG will lead the delegation, Chair, and I think he will introduce the team and start proceedings, Chair.
Okay. I will welcome the DG, but before we actually proceed, I thought it will be important that we actually speak to the purpose in terms of the engagement of the DTIC, because we're looking at the situation of the industries and companies and what is being done to address the challenges and or mitigate the impact of the economy. So I think the main issue is the ferrochrome industry player that had over some time being challenging facing the industry may lead to job losses and possibly a failure, further decline of the global market share. So I think those are specific issues that have come up at some point on the previous engagement. Given the South Africa's chrome ore resources, the industry has been in leading global ferrochrome supplier, but is now facing domestic constraints that is affecting its competitiveness. I think further in terms of the cement industry, the committee had indicated concern on the following issues. The replacement of good quality locally produced cement with substandard imports. I think there is an influx of cement imports, and further, the lack of non-compliance with regulations for the quality of cement that may be used on different type of buildings and other structures. So one is raising this just as an introductory part, DG, before we actually proceed with the agenda. Secretariat?
As an indicator, Chair, if I receive an apology, I will submit. Mr. McPherson has submitted apology, Chair. Which I just received, he is still on party business, Chair.
Okay, okay. So can we actually go that on record? DG, let me actually invite you to actually introduce your team and actually help us go through the two industry sectors to be able to actually give us a sense of work in progress, because we have actually had interaction before. We'll need just to know how things are going. But obviously, I think there might be a need for minerals and energy interaction, because that's an area which actually has lots of other attention linked to mining and related issues of energy. DG, Lionel October, can I invite you to introduce your team and take us through? Good morning.
Good morning, Chair, and thank you so much. And thanks for placing this matter on the agenda, and thanks for your constant guidance and leadership to the department. We really appreciate you putting this matter on the agenda. Chair, the team that you will do, as you know, because of the seriousness of this matter, we've got quite a large team. And we've got Dr. Annelien Chetty, who's our acting DDG for Industrial Development. Then we have Dr. Omisha Naidu, who is the sector expert in this area, Mr. Mohammed Vauder, Dr. Chenge Demane, who's responsible for our technical infrastructure. And then we have Edward Mamadise from NLCS, the CEO. And then we have Jody Skaltz, who's the administrator for SAVS. As you can see, Chair, we have three doctors in our team. And if you recall where you were yesterday, there's something called the Three Doctors Pact, Dr. Kuma and Dr. Yusuf Dadu and others. So, but we have, we're not in that league, but we have eminent professionals in our team. Chair, as you've said very succinctly in your introductory remarks, these two sectors are facing critical challenges, and we need to intervene urgently in the matter. As you know, we because we have an active industrial policy, we adopt an approach of the government must be a helping hand for industries, and we must actively support, and it's not this hand-off, laissez-faire approach that we adopt. On the question of Omisha, we'll take you through a lot of the detail on that, but let me just make a very broad comment. On the ferrochrome sector, we are not the lead department. The lead department, as you mentioned, is Mineral Resources Department, and also the key role players there is obviously the Chamber of Mines and the integrated producers. They only, the beneficiation that is done in the ferrochrome industry is what we call stage two beneficiation. In terms of the department and our industrial policy, we really, our focus as a department is confined to what we call stage four beneficiation, which is your manufacturing industrial sector like Columbus Steel. When they convert all these processes into stainless steel, that is what we call real beneficiation when we speak in the industrial policy sense. But as you know, any form of value add is very critical. We mustn't only export the raw materials in its rawest forms, because then we are at the bottom of the value chain. So every country must constantly try to add more and more value so that it keeps more value in the country. And that's why this is a center stage. There's been good progress made. We've established an interdepartmental committee led by the DMR, and we have already reached conclusions on a range of intervention from in the electricity area to a proposed mechanism on, we have to find a balance, but there's an idea that we need to look at, explore the possibility of an export tax. Obviously, as you know, with all these things, there's no right or wrong, there's no principles. It's a question of finding the balance between the different role players, between the miners, between the beneficiators, and also between the broader national interest. We have to find that balance, and that's why the principle is to keep stakeholder engagement, find, like we do in all our master plan processes. Chair, then in conclusion, the cement industry, as you know, is a critical sector. And we are hoping, in terms of the recovery package announced by the president, which, as you know, the big leg there relating to our department is the industrialization localization leg. The big push is going to be, we need to ensure that as the infrastructure program picks up, that local cement is used. And so the designation, the localization, and the use of local cement is going to be key, Chair. Chair, let me hand over to the team then, to Dr. Annalyn Chetty and to Omisha to take you through the presentation. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you.
Good morning,
I'm sure
Chair.
The team can proceed.
Good morning, Chair and members. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present to you. I think DG has provided quite a comprehensive context to the presentation. Chair, we just want the committee to see this as the work in progress, and to let you know that every effort will be made to address the challenges within the sector. Chair, you'll also recall from yesterday's presentation on the master plans that whilst we don't have master plans in these sectors, we will ensure that the pillars of master plans are applied to the sector in terms of transformation, localization, industrialization, and economic growth. And we will make every effort to inform the committee of progress in these various sectors. Just to take you, if the presentation can be flighted. I'm not sure if you can see it yet, but the contents of the presentation, we will look at the context of the South African chrome industry. We look at the ferrochrome industry in particular, as well as some of the challenges that industry is going through. We look at technology responses to the sector, as well as proposed interventions. commitments and growth opportunities. Then, Chair, we will be taking you through the cement industry, looking at a status, looking at a challenges, looking at challenges that the industry faces, existing measures, looking at what the NRCS has done so far in this particular space, as well as key areas of intervention, and we will conclude. Thank you, Chair. I will now hand over to my very learned colleague, Dr. Umisha Naidu.
Thank you, Dr. Naidu.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members, DG, colleagues. I'll take you through the presentation, starting with an overview of the South African chrome industry. South Africa accounts for 75% of the world's known chrome ore reserves, followed by Kazakhstan and India. We produce about 57% of global chrome ore in South Africa. A significant portion of this is exported, mainly to China. Chrome ore is sourced from very high-grade chromium-rich deposits. And the contribution, as indicated in the table on the right below, in terms of integrated producers, the contribution to chrome ore production is about 48%. We've got non-integrated producers, as well as UG2 platinum miners that produce chrome as a byproduct, resulting in additional sources. Chrome exports to China have impacted on South Africa's sector's performance and competitiveness in terms of the ferrochrome industry. In terms of the ferrochrome industry, South Africa's position has been eroded. We currently produce 3.6 million tons. Our share of global ferrochrome is down from 39% in 2009. South Africa is the largest supplier, as I indicated, to Chinese ferrochrome firms. China, as can be seen in the graph, went from a marginal producer and accounts for more than 40% of market share currently, shown in red in the graph. All Chinese ferrochrome is used in further value addition in their domestic stainless steel market. In terms of the challenges that the industry faces, South Africa, as I indicated, has lost a significant share of our ferrochrome market. This is due to competition from China, as well as increasing domestic energy costs, leading to challenges in the South African market. This also is aggravated by illegal mining activities and companies pre-buying the output of junior mines. The industry across the value chain, from chrome ore mining to ferrochrome production, as well as stainless steel, is strategically important to the economy in terms of value add and jobs, the capability that does exist, and therefore that it is a need to support the sustainable growth of the entire value chain, as the DG indicated, through a balanced approach. South Africa has advantages that can be leveraged. We have world-class technology in ferrochrome production. We have access to the largest resources. We also have a world-class stainless steel producer. Just on the technology aspects in terms of ferrochrome, South Africa has a technology advantage over our competitors in terms of furnace type, furnace size and power consumption. There's also additional technology opportunities that have been developed by Mintek to reduce energy consumption, the use of direct current furnaces, and also to process fines. There are proposed interventions. There's the establishment of an interdepartmental task team led by the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, the DTIC, as well as National Treasury and public enterprises, also participate in the task team to consider measures to support the industry. The set of interventions include collaboration between chrome and ferrochrome producers for short-term solutions in the interest of all partners, to secure competitively priced electricity through the recently approved short and long-term electricity pricing framework for energy-intensive users, and this has been approved by the DMRE. To address the high costs of logistics and increased transportation by rail, and then a form of chrome export tax that will balance the viability of chrome and ferrochrome industries. A commitment by the ferrochrome industry to process volumes of chrome should manufacturers reduce imports from South Africa as a consequence of an export tax, and then initiatives to combat illegal mining. As I indicated, there are also opportunities to adopt technologies to improve efficiencies and reduce costs. In terms of industry commitments and growth opportunities, preservation of jobs and beneficiation, we want to retain the beneficiation capacity and capability in the country that exists. Integrated producers to enter into purchase contracts for chrome ore requirements, and then the potential to restart idle capacity and encourage investment. From the current production of 3.6 million tons, there are opportunities in terms of existing plants that could ramp up to full production in the medium term if all existing ferrochrome plants are restarted, and in the long term, new plants can be constructed as well as existing furnaces converted to produce ferrochrome. The ferrochrome pricing benefit potentially passed down to unlock investment in the downstream value chain, and this is really in terms of stainless steel production and further downstream stainless steel products. I will now move over to the challenges in the cement industry. In terms of an overview of the cement industry status, South Africa has capacity to produce 20.5 million tons per annum. However, we only use about 68% of the capacity, producing 14 million tons. Imports account for about 8% of local demand. South Africa currently exports about 1.2 million tons, mainly to the regional market. The cement sector employs 7,800 people. It also consists of key globally competitive players. It is highly linked to the construction sector, logistics, as well as capital equipment, and hence is impacted by traction in the construction sector, as well as the effects of COVID-19. The infrastructure program presents an opportunity where local inputs could reduce building and construction costs, improve quality, and minimize the lead times for infrastructure delivery. In terms of industry challenges, the industry is impacted by imports, declining construction activity, the carbon tax, clinker imports, which is an intermediate product that goes into cement production, a decrease in employment from 2008, and then the COVID-19 pandemic. There are also regulatory and quality challenges in terms of NRCS specifications, testing capacity, LOAs, and compliance, as well as metrology. On the quality side, certification by SABS and blender quality. The existing support to address some of these challenges include quality and compulsory specifications. There's been significant interventions in terms of collaboration with SARS on non-compliant products and detention and sanctions. There's also increased testing, and in terms of trade remedy, there is an anti-dumping duty against Pakistan. A safeguard investigation is in progress. And as I indicated, the biggest opportunities for the cement industry is in terms of the infrastructure program where cement intensive industries have been prioritized as well as localization. NRCS, there has been significant interventions recently in the past year. Together with SARS, cement has been highlighted as a high-risk item. Customer concerns have been investigated. There's rigorous sampling for testing. Directives have been issued for non-compliances as well as criminal cases, and LOAs withdrawn. Media releases have been conducted and communication initiatives, including in rural areas around non-compliance and poor quality cement products. There's also been significant confiscation and detention of non-compliant cement in the last year. These include 260,000 bags of cement coming from imports, 5,000 from local manufacturers, and then 2,000 from retailers and distributors. Overall, in terms of government interventions in the sector, it's the key one is really to drive demand in terms of the infrastructure projects, the designation of cement, which is in progress, and various localization initiatives related to construction. In terms of legislation, there is the BBBE Act, Carbon Tax and Mining Charter. And then on quality control, regular inspections of manufacturers and blenders, SABS certification, NRCS compliance testing and ongoing investigations. And then the ITAC interventions on import, as well as SARS risk engines and reference pricing. Then just some concluding remarks. Both the ferrochrome and the cement industry interventions contribute to key economic recovery actions in terms of strategic localization, reindustrialization, and export promotion, including revitalizing mining and manufacturing. These two sectors are critical in terms of jobs as well as value add, and we do need to retain the capability and capacity and grow the industry. The DTI supports the development and implementation of a set of interventions to support the chrome and the ferroalloy value chain to promote beneficiation and value-adding industries. Construction material localization has been identified as a key area to strengthen and grow domestic manufacturing, leveraging the public infrastructure procurement as well as designation, and to utilize the extensive domestic capacity and capability that we have in the sector. We're also looking at additional construction material localizations and designation interventions that are underway. Thank you, Chair. I think I will stop sharing the presentation.
Okay, thank you very much, Doc. May I actually just check from members, because we have actually got the presentation. I would definitely ask for comments and or questions. If members actually do have that, Secretariat, you can help me have a look at that. And then we can go back to DG and the team to actually clarify some of the issues. Honorable members, floor is yours. Comments and or questions to the DTIC team.
Hey, we have Mr. Mbuyane, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Mbuyane.
Followed by Ms. Mutahung, Chair.
Mutahung.
That's what we have at the moment, Chair. Chair, just to submit an apology on behalf of Ms. Yaku as well, Chair. So we received it while the meeting started, Chair.
Okay, wonderful. So we'll update the records. Can I invite Mbuyane, Honorable Mbuyane?
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. Chair, I'm just concerned about the plan in terms of the transformation in the in this sector, ferrochrome and cement. Can we be furnished with a clear transformation plan with timelines and numbers of people benefited from the process? is there any plan in terms of beneficiation? Because we know that these mining industries are in the rural areas, and those people are poor. And they're just taking what is underground and leave them without anything. They don't have anything. They only benefit in terms of employment, like that's just, I said, 7,800. But do they have a plan in terms of beneficiation where black people will be able to be part of the mainstream industry in terms of the value chain with the economic transformation? And Chairperson, we know that we have serious challenges with China in terms of exports and import. Do we have any plan in terms of having our own domestic stainless market? Because we are told that there is this one in Mpumalang. Even that one is concentrated on one demographics. People are just employees. They don't benefit. We're talking benefit because these are raw material that are underground in South Africa. Chairperson, I think if you can get clarity on that one as well. We happy that in terms of technology, the chrome smelting we have, but the main task of the interdepartmental, can we be clarified? What is their objective? Because really, if those department, your DMR, your trade and industry can be able to converge and sit together, I think they can come up with a clear proposal that will be able to benefit our people in South Africa. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mbuyane. Can I ask Honorable Mutaung?
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. I'm partly covered by Honorable Mbuyane. I have only two questions. I just want to check what is it that the department is doing regarding the challenge of illegal chrome mining, especially at Limpopo. My second question will be, is there any engagement at the diplomatic level to deal with the export of illegal chrome, especially to China? Thanks, Chair.
Can I actually invite then the Secretariat, unless there's somebody else?
Ms. Mantashe, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Mantashe.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I also would want to appreciate the presentation. But my main concern is, I'm not sure if other comrades have raised it. How do we intend ensure that we beneficiate chrome in South Africa? We hear that it uses less energy, which would be beneficial to us. And I so wish that it could be that we beneficiate it and run away from what we've been doing in our lifetime, that of exporting it. And also I would love that e-export tax be imposed on it. I would support any move to impose e-export tax on chrome chain. Thank you.
Secretary, are there any further hands? If not, I'll ask that we then ask the DG and the team to comment on the issues raised by members. Secretary?
No questions, additional questions as far as so the DG can
please. Okay. Can I actually then ask that we get the DG and the team to be able to actually comment?
Yes, as I said, the team will deal with the bulk of the questions, but I think just on Honorable Mboyani's point and Honorable Mutaung, I think the key thing around transformation and everybody sharing in the benefits of the industry. Now, firstly, Chair, the main, from a transformation point of view, the main piece of legislation that governs this area is the Mining Charter. And that, as you know, is developed in consultation with the DTIC, but it's mainly driven by departments of Minerals and Energy. but there is a mining charter which sets out clear obligations on the sector with regards to black economic empowerment, with regards to ownership, with regards to ownership of the local community, with regards to, and this is the part that DTIC put in, there's procurement, there's localization in the new mining charter. So we have made substantial improvements, and I would suggest that maybe there be a complete presentation around the mining charter and how it is being implemented. Because I think the point that's being made is very clear about Ndungu Mboyani, is that especially, obviously, we're facing a difficult period now because commodity prices are low. There's lots of international competition. But remember, this sector has gone through highs and lows over the 100 years that we have been doing. And despite having all these massive mineral resources, our people remain in poverty. And the benefits have not been shared with the majority of the population. So we've been excluded from this extensive mineral wealth, whether in beneficiated or unbeneficiated form. So I think the mining charter is an attempt to address that imbalance in terms of the distribution of benefits from our industry. So I would suggest that we take that issue because it is very important. But let me hand over to Misha.
Okay. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair. I'll respond to the questions. The question by Honorable Mbuyani on the interdepartmental task team and the plans that we are looking at. It is a holistic set of interventions, and through bringing in the different departments, the DMRE will focus on the mining aspects, including how we bring in the mining charter and the transformation. The DMRE will also bring in the energy aspects in terms of the short and long-term framework that has been approved for energy-intensive users. The DTIC will focus on the downstream value add, looking at how we can expand both the ferrochrome as well as the stainless steel value chains, should the interventions be able to increase the capacity and the growth opportunities in ferrochrome production and beneficiation in South Africa. The Department of Public Enterprises, who will also be involved in the task team, we'll look at the transport logistics as well as the energy supply and competitive pricing issues. In terms of the Honorable Matuhang's question on illegal chrome mining, the DMRE is leading this initiative. There have been ongoing interventions with regards to illegal mining. They do work with SARS as well as SAPS on this intervention. Also, in terms of the question on diplomatic engagements with China, them being our biggest, we export significant quantities of chrome ore to China. Those engagements will also form part of the interdepartmental task team initiative. In terms of Honorable Mantashe's question on how do we promote and beneficiation. That is the focus of the interventions. We want to expand beneficiation in South Africa, especially in terms of adding more value to our chrome resources, ferrochrome production, and then going further downstream. And we note the support for the export tax as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. I'm sure the other team members will comment. So, are there any further comments?
Thank you, Chair. I think that covers all of the points raised, and as indicated by Omisha, we have the interdepartmental team, which also tabled its part of its report to Cabinet. So we are actively working out. There's a division of labor in the interdepartmental team, with DMR having certain responsibilities, public enterprises, DTIC, and then, as I said, there will also be extensive consultation with the miners and the integrated producers. and with and as part of the Steel Master Plan, we are extensively working with Columbus Steel with regards to the greater beneficiation of steel and support for the steel industry, which, as you know, is the final stage of the value chain and where we need to put a lot of emphasis into. But as I indicated, it is an interdepartmental team, and we have we are working now to at least ensure that we can cushion the big blow to the industry, especially by the big electricity prices and so forth. And then, as I indicated, the minister has indicated he's had interactions with Minister Dalil, and we are working on in terms of the and Dr. Ramakgopa with the infrastructure agency. We are working towards when we stimulate and get the industry back on track. We hope to ensure they will ensure that we put in place mechanisms to ensure the local use of or the use of local cement and the protection of local jobs. And then we also have the NRCS and SABS, who have now come on board completely to ensure with ITAC that we ensure that we deal with illegal and sub-quality imports so that we do then create high standards for our cement, not only for consumers, but also to revive jobs. So Chair, as you can see, we are intensively engaged with other departments in terms of putting the supporting these industries with government being a helping hand. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So I think, DG, what would be actually quite important is that you do have departments which actually are sort of interlinking in terms of what they're actually doing in terms of taking this process forward. It's public enterprises, minerals, resources, and then minerals and energy, and DTIC. We may have to look at an opportunity of having some joint session where we can have a common list in time frames and areas where we need to be focusing at to be able to take the process forward. Because I'm sure in all the issues that I actually raise, it's sort of actually intertwined. And if ever we don't actually have a collective program, you might actually pick up that it might be a challenge on how we sort of intervene and actually agree on the program moving forward. So having made those comments, I wanted just to check if ever there are any further engagements, if ever there's any, and if ever there are not, yes, Secretariat?
Simon Mbuyane, Chair.
Oh, okay. Honorable Mbuyane.
Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much. Maybe if I can check, man, whether this poor quality cement that is circulated, maybe it's distributed around South Africa. Can we confirm that the NRCS testing lab is not part of? Because the last time we checked, we had a challenge with the cement testing lab from the RCS. Can you confirm that, Chairperson? NRCS is not part of the poor quality cement that is distributed in South Africa, and the dumping that is it's around the country. Thank you.
Let me check if ever there are any further comments.
Ms. Mantashe,
Honorable Mantashe.
Thank you, Chair. We'll be harping on the same point, Chair, but I want to check what is the intention of the department in as far as the cement that is already in shelves in the market that is a substandard, Chair. I hear that they are going to improve on it, but there's a lot that is already on the market. I just want to know what is the plan about that one.
Yes. Secretariat, are there any further hands?
Not at the moment, Chair.
Yeah, let me just say as well, the issue of substandard material, as in cement that gets actually sent into our country, it's actually linked to some of the issues where South Africans who get business to be in construction go for imports of what is cheaper, because they actually want to get the benefit of whatever contract or tender they get. So they import the product so that they actually can be able to actually get it in a cheaper price. But I think in the long term, medium long term, they actually miss out to understand that that's a terrible exposure, because quality of products has to do with safety as well moving forward. So I think those are the areas where one would say it may not be just clean, clear dumping, but it may be a point initiated by South Africans who are getting business opportunity where they see cheaper, poor quality being actually beneficial for the contracts or tenders that they actually receive. Can I then go back to you, DG, maybe to your team, and see if ever there are any further issues and try and round up? DG?
Thanks again for highlighting those issues and for the questions. I'm going to ask the team, Dr. Chenge Demane and Jody and Edward Mamadise, to come in. But as Honorable Mantashe correctly says, that we need to take up this issue. And as you know, with the issue, as I mentioned about export taxes, tariffs, and as you said, a tariff is a difficult tool, because as you know, on the one hand, we have our WTO obligations, but also, as you know, the higher the tariff, the more expensive the cement is, and then you harm the consumer. But if you again have a very low tariff, you harm jobs and you harm the industry. So that's why always we say the question we adopt is a strategic approach, a pragmatic one, and finding the balance between keeping the cost low but also protecting local jobs. Because it's no use getting cheap products from the rest of the world, but you have no industry and no jobs in your country. So, so we've tried to find that balance. And then, as you say, we need to also protect the quality of our program, and that's why we have the institution. But let me hand over to them to please come in and answer on Mboyani.
Thanks, DG, and good morning, members. I think the question about quality, it's a good question. As you may be aware, the SABS has expanded its testing capacity for cement. So there's been some investment that have been made to expand the labs and to buy more equipment, get more people to actually do the testing. When it comes to NRCS, it's the role at NRCS is to enforce compliance to the requisite standards. So what NRCS is doing is they are performing what we call market surveillance. So they go to the retailers and buy some of the cement and get that cement tested by the SABS. And if it's not compliant, then they are able to pull that cement out of the market. So they have been really doing quite a bit when it comes to cement that is imported. Because it's an issue of checking whether the quality is still right, but it's also an issue of checking whether the bag sizes that we are getting actually are correct. Because one can say we have cement that is 45 kilogram, and then when you weigh it, you find that it's actually 40 kilogram. So you lose about 5 kilogram. That's a lot. So yeah, so they have been doing quite a bit of work in that regard. And it has been mentioned in the presentation that this work is ongoing to such an extent that we are now even looking at rural areas. Thank you, members.
Thanks, Dr. Chenge Demane. Can we take the next colleague?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It's Edward Mamadise, the CEO of NRCS. Just to reiterate what Dr. Chenge said, the work in the market surveillance is a continuous job. We are planning to strengthen also the capacity, especially to target areas where we have seen a surge in imports, like in Durban. So the plan is, the future long-term plan is to have additional capacity in the form of inspectors to be allocated for this area of cement to be able to deal with the non-compliance imports. And insofar as testing, Honorable Mbuyane, testing is a function of SABS. So the labs that we have are only for legal metrology and on a limited scale as well. Testing is not our principal function. As the NRCS, we rely on SABS and similar entities to provide testing when we sample some of these products, including the cement. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, CEO, thank you. Can get your other colleagues. DG?
Jody Schultz, Chair, wants to respond, Chair.
Okay. Jody.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, DG, and honourable members. Apologies that I've joined the meeting late. Chair, just to indicate on the testing, the cement lab has been a lab that we've had two COVID instances where we've had to close down the lab in its entirety, and that has resulted in a backlog. We've also been able to resolve the equipment challenge. We've procured new equipment, which arrived here on Thursday. That machine is being commissioned, Chair. We've also placed an order for additional equipment that should be arriving at the end of the month. And to assist us to manage these backlogs, Chair and Honourable Members, what we've done is we've subcontracted around 140 samples to an independent lab, just to make sure that we are assisting to manage the testing. But we are confident, Chair, that in the next month, with these machines being commissioned and coming on stream, that we would be able to manage the existing backlog, and then going forward, it would be a much because we've got the equipment, we'd be able to test then more robustly and according to the volumes that we're getting. Thanks, Chair. Thank you, DG.
Thank you very much, Ms. Scott. DG, maybe to actually try and round up.
Yes, Chair, thank you. So as you could see there, just to reinforce, we are working actively with regards to the regulatory, the technical standards, NRCS, and WHO is doing excellent work. And then, as you said, SABS is coming back on stream. And as you know, the biggest problem we addressing in SABS is that we are upgrading the equipment and the quality of the testing laboratories. And we have, as a department, provided additional funding for the purposes of upgrading our equipment so that we can deliver quality services. Chair, those are the two reports. And as we indicated, we are hard at work. We are working with our colleagues in other departments. While also we are working with all the private sector players in this area. And as I indicated, we do have to assist, especially in this COVID period, because of the additional knock which the private sector is taking. We need to really support our private sector. But we also, as we know, we are doing it now in a clear understanding that there is going to be a sharing of the benefits of growth. There's going to be active transformation. There's going to be strengthened Black economic empowerment. There's going to be strengthened benefits for the local communities. Localization has two meanings. Localization is producing manufactured products locally, but it also means employing and providing business, small businesses in the local area where the mine is or where the factory is. We need to employ locals in that area, and there must be direct benefit. And that is in the new mining charter. There's clear role for assistance to local communities. So, Chair, we are actively engaged to support these sectors. And I really, again, want to thank you and the committee for always taking these issues seriously, like you did with sugar, with poultry, with steel. You are always interested in ensuring that we grow this economy and that you provide oversight, guidance, and leadership. So thanks for that, Chair.
So, DG, I think what might be important, the big issue is around beneficiation. Obviously, we would actually be looking at our colleagues in terms of transformation linked to the mining charter. But further, I think the issue of industrialization and localization, it's actually key. So for the DTIC minerals and energy public enterprises, we may actually have to look at how the consolidated approach may be able to have an intervention in stabilizing and guiding the space we're just engaging on at this stage. So I'm sure if we can ask the DTIC to have a look at how we can be able to consolidate our approach and be able to actually ensure that there's an intervention that help us stabilize the space to ensure that those big areas we have identified are able to actually be driven in a way that we can be able to ensure sustainability and quality and standard, which is at the point where quality is actually at the point where work is done in a way that is sustainable with the relevant safety in the different parts of what we do in construction as one big area that we have to look at. DG, thanks very much, and the team. I'm sure we would actually then conclude our discussion and be able to actually request that there should be a follow-up to be able to pick up on the intervention on the way forward. Secretariat?
Chair, Mr. Bumiani raised his hand. Chair, I would assume he also wants to ask a question.
Oh, okay. Honorable Mbuyane?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think this one maybe can be a takeaway to the department to say, let them collect the information and consolidate the report in terms of all the departments. And also the issue of these laboratories that has been privatized to check, man, as to how can we be able to grow an economy while processes are not functional correctly in terms of the cement factory. And the issue of COVID cases that has resulted the laboratory cement to be closed down, it's a serious concern, Jefferson. I don't know what is it that they can do in the SABS, because closing down the lab, that is mean we'll be privatizing laboratories while we do have laboratories. Thank you very much.
Okay. So I'm sure, DG, those are the issues we need to ensure there's follow-up. And I'm sure that we can actually invite you just to take your closing comments so that we conclude this part of our program. DG, your parting shot.
Yes, Chair, I think we take the points on board, the range bound of Mboyani. We'll take it as a clear fast food. We'll take it as a takeaway. But as indicated, the administrators are here, Jody Scott and Chenge Demani, and they will take those points on board that we need the SABS laboratory to be fully operational. And we need, as I said, we need to provide the world-class quality services. And I think they have now put all the mechanisms in place, and we can they can give us updates as we go along that everything is fully operational with regards to our laboratories. Chair, as I indicated, we will now be keeping you updated And we will be working with our colleagues in the other departments. And the matter, as you said, DMR is very seized with this matter, and they are also engaging with the Chamber of Mines and with the role players in the industry. But as I said, our job, as always, is that we have an active industrial policy, we have a reimagined industrial policy, and that is that we can no longer be reliant on just mineral exports, important as it is. And as you know, we must never, as Honorable Mantashe, Minister Mantashe always keeps saying, the mining industry is a critical player in this economy. And we mustn't underestimate the importance of this sector. And so we fully support the mining industry. But as you know, we need a diversified economy. We need to add value to products. We need to beneficiate, but also we need to concentrate on manufacturing. And therefore, our role in all these interventions has only one objective is in mind, is to ensure that we localize, we produce locally, and we also ensure that there's simultaneously, not at a later date, there is simultaneous transformation and industrialization. It's not a two-stage process. It is a simultaneous process where we extend the benefits to all our people and we extend the benefits to local communities. So, Chair, we are fully seized with the matter. And again, thank you for raising the profile of this matter and these industries.
Yeah, I think the terminology of Honorable Mbuyane is retail sector with takeaway. But I'm sure, DG, when you actually take it away, you should be able to bring it back in terms of what progress are we able to make with our colleagues and other related departments on these specific issues. So can we actually thank you for the presentation and engagement? And definitely we'll then be moving to the point of Secretariat on those administrative issues we have to look at. But thank you very much, DTIC team, for your presentation and engagement. It's just the issue relating to announcement or information from the Secretariat that we'll take as the last item on the agenda before we conclude our meeting. I will invite Secretariat to be able to help us speak to that issue. Andre?
We just want to table two responses we received from the DTIC and the NRCS on the meeting are held on the 21st of October so that we can formally, then we can table it formally in the committee as well as then email it to members. So those two responses that we receive regarding our meeting on 21st of October, we'll distribute for members information, Chair. So we receive thereof and hence we need to table it as part of the committee proceedings, Chair. Also, Chair, there is another matter that we need to bring attention. Our program, our original program that we had, Chair, indicated that we may need to start interviews on the NLC chairperson next week, Chair. So there will be a change to the program from next week, Chair. And hopefully, after having a discussion with you, we will communicate changes to the program to members, Chair, either this afternoon or tomorrow for the latest, Chair. So the program will have to be adjusted to accommodate the change, Chair.
Okay. So in terms of the next session, Andre?
The next sessions that we have, Chair, will be next Tuesday and Wednesday, Chair. Like I said, we will then communicate the subject matter to members late afternoon, okay, Today or tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I think that's the conclusion in terms of how next Tuesday, Wednesday, we would actually then make sure that you do get updated to be able to take the process forward. Okay, let me hear.
An email to Andre to transfer to the chairperson of the portfolio committee. I'm not sure if he received it.
Okay. I received the Chair, and we will discuss it. I will discuss the matter with you, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Honorable Members. And I'm sure we can actually be able to conclude our meeting. And in terms of actually your engagement and contribution, most appreciated. the meeting stand agenda. Thank you very much.
Good job.
Thanks.
Hey, are you
all right, everybody. Thank you.
Okay. Don't leave the chair.
No, I want to hear it. It's tough isolating.